Psalms 106 and verse 30. We'll start in 32. Verse 32 and Psalms 106. And the Bible says this: they angered him also with the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore, there's always a conclusion to this thing, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled. Now notice who it's against, not the heathen. That's a given. God wants to see them saved. They're going to do what they're supposed to do, and that's live wicked. That's what I did before I got saved. But notice God's wrath, it says, was kindled against his people insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and do appreciate your good book that you've given us. We thank God that it's the true word of God. Sure has been a help to me and my family, and I don't know where I'd be tonight. It certainly wouldn't be saved if it wouldn't have been for the gospel, the word of God, and getting that. And thank you for this church tonight. I appreciate their stand, their standards, God, the banner that they hold here in Jacksonville, Indiana. Appreciate the testimony they have in this town. And Lord, it's good to have a peculiar testimony, to be separated and different from everybody else for the honor and glory of the Lord. Pray you bless tonight. Help these people to hear from heaven. We'll ask, thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I want to take just a few minutes and deal with an issue that really, I mean, I guess if you want to title this thing, I don't really even have a title for it, but mixed company. Now, I know this is a one good church. There's no doubt about it. And I want, more than anything, to the young people tonight, and this is kind of geared at them because I'm a juvenile preacher. But everybody can get something out of it, I'm quite sure. But we're losing our young people by the truckloads, and you know that. I'm never going to change my preaching unless God tells me to. This is the way I am. I'm jail's home to me. Jailbirds are home to me. Amen. I like going into the behind the bars and getting after it and just trying to pull them out of the pits of hell and preach to them. And of course, the boys' home's home. They're always home. Amen. They got to listen to me. Amen. And it's a real blessing. So we get to preach to them twice a day. So, and that's what's going to make the difference is this book. And that's the only thing I know to do. I don't have anything to give you tonight. I don't have all the. I have very little answers. And I sure didn't write no Bible dictionary. Amen. I'm hardly smart enough to tie my shoe. Amen. So I didn't write no dictionary. But I am saved, and I know I got God's book, so that's about all I can go there. But and I can shoot a pistol halfway decent and a rifle and assault rifles and stuff. I'm okay in that area, amen? And I thank the U.S. government for teaching me so, amen? So anyhow, but I don't get to shoot as much as I'd like to anymore. The work's got too busy, but I still like to do that, amen? Any of y'all like to shoot around here? I need to get with some of these. See, there's a whole church full of them. The next time I come, I'm bringing all my rifles and everything. I'm going to bring a bunch of ammunition. We're going to go shoot something, amen? I don't know what, but my pastor actually let me preach. I preach a lot on the military. I got to bring in, I have an NHM 91 that I got from a Methodist preacher. About give it to me. He was dying. His daddy was dying. His dad's got a federal arms license. They are crazy. Methodist preachers. He had four of these things. They're for suppression fire, like an M60. Now, it's semi-auto. It's not been converted, so it's perfectly legal. I got to put that on our table of showbread or and I preached a message on being a soldier of the Lord. I dressed up in my old uniform, and we had a time. I got to run up down the aisles of that thing and cycle it and stuff. I wanted to get some blanks and surprise everybody, but the preacher said, I don't think that'd be a good idea. So it was a lot of fun, though. I enjoyed it, amen. But this is a military book, you know that. Our God's a God of war, and we're fighting a spiritual warfare, and it's serious business. We're battling wickedness in high places, Paul said in the book of Ephesians. So it's serious business, young people. This ain't a social club. This is God's army. We're mobilized. We have got to always be moving. It's harder to hit a moving target anyhow. So don't you get tired, man. I know we got to rest now and then. But anyhow, in Psalms 106, I want to say this. What is a heathen society? Let me give you a definition out of the old 1828. Any people that do not acknowledge God as their sovereign God or creator, they simply do not believe in God. You say in America, yeah, we're getting there. We sure are. Amen. I've talked to young people right in Panama City, Florida, that don't even know who Jesus Christ is outside of a cuss word. Little 9, 10-year-old boys and girls that's been raised in homes that have forsaken God. right in the Bible Belt. Yeah, it's a shame. So let me say by way of introduction, what about when we read here in Psalms 106, well, you know what's plain here? That's the commandment of God. Now in Psalms 106, verse 34, what did God say? He said this, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord, what? Commanded them. Now, you know, you don't need to pray. There's a lot of things we excuse ourselves that we're going to pray about that. But you know, things like over in 1 Corinthians 7:34, turn there real quick. This is one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. It's dealing with a virgin, a lady that's never been messed with, not been married, clean for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this verse, amen. It's a wonderful verse. But when you deal with this stuff, there's nothing to pray about. God commanded them to what? To destroy everything. He didn't want them hooking up with those heathens. He didn't want them learning their works, their ways, and what happened. You saw what happened to them, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But in 1 Corinthians 7:34, the Word of God says this, 1 Corinthians 7:34, and there is also difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for things of the world, how she may please her husband. So you take an unmarried lady that's clean for the Lord, she careth for her body and spirit, in and out. They're inseparable, folks. You can't have one without the other. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of preachers there that get all over folks that want to try to live clean. Listen, man, I my wife don't wear a dress because she has to. I don't command. I've been accused of making her do that. Can you believe that? I ain't never done that a day in my life. Amen. Never. My wife used to go to the house of God in stretch pants. Now, I'm an honest preacher. She did. Yeah. No one said a word to her. They just loved on her and treated her like you ought to. Amen. An old preacher friend of mine from Merle Harold Siler's told me, son, when you marry that lady, pray for her. I led her to the Lord. I said, don't bullwhip her. You're going to go in like a bull in a china shop. I know your kind. You're going to tell her what to do, how much Bible to read, how she's going to dress, where she's going to go, when she's going to breathe. Yeah, he was right. And so it took me a year, this thick noggin of mine, for God to have keep dropping bombs on my head to wake me up. Finally, I backed off and said, God, she's all yours. Do with her what she wants. And I started praying for Mom. And Mama changed on her own. Amen. The Lord changed her. Then it's permanent. That way, when my wife goes down the road and you see her 7 days from today, she ought to be the same testimony for the Lord as she is today. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of folk, their God is their preacher. No. And then when they get mad at the preacher and they leave the church, you see them and they look like some heathen you never saw before. You know why that is? Because their heart was in love with their pastor. Nothing wrong with that. Follow the man of God. I'm for pastoral authority. It's in Hebrews 13. Amen. I'm for all that. We're going to get to that. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our standard. And Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. If the man's following the Lord, get after it, man, and toe the line. But you better get your convictions and what you believe and why you stand from the book and the Holy Ghost of God. Because there'll be a lifetime. If the Lord changes your heart, you'll be that way all your life. Amen. And it helps you. And that's where we're missing the boat, I think. Folks get, because if you try to do everything by following somebody else, you're going to get put out with it. Because your motive won't be right. You won't have joy of the Lord. You won't have no strength because of that. And it'll be like going uphill. Amen. But if you'll just let go and let God have his way, it'll be fine. Amen. It'll be all right. And I know everybody's at different level. I understand all that. I'm not trying to browbeat nobody. Amen. You know that. So we're talking about the commandment of God. Being separated is not a choice. It's a command. It's a command. You don't need to pray about it. You need to find out what God said and get on board. Amen. When God gives a command, there's nothing to pray about. I like to write things down as I think while I study. God's not interested in your attitude, but your action. I can have the right attitude about what I should be doing, but if I ain't getting up and doing nothing about it, there's no use in it anyhow. Amen? God wants us separated so we can be, and this is something we miss, I think, as young people. God, you know why God wants you to be separate and try to be clean on a daily basis? So that when he goes to pour the honey bucket out, you're there to receive it. You know, if you guys are full of yourself, and that's our biggest enemy is not the devil in the world, although they're number two and three. It's ourself. It's the ugly snap that I look at in the mirror. This is the problem. It's not my wife. It's not my kids. It's Brother Unger's problem. This old man hates church, hates God, and hates the Bible. I've been saved for 14 years. It's never going to change. This flesh hates the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that? And if I don't keep it under submission to the Lord, I'll be in prison. I'm telling you now. It's the almighty grace of God. And so if people don't realize that when you're walking with the Lord and God gives commands for our own good, and we fight that. But all he's trying to do is be good to you. Amen. Boundaries are a blessing. Fences and yards are safety. They used to put bulwarks in the Old Testament on those old buildings so you didn't fall off the roof and break your neck. Amen. I mean, you know, we bucket rules. Listen, don't join the military then. That's a rule book. I've told it all over the country. These shoes, I guess, are 5 years old or so, but it took rules and standards to make these shoes. They just didn't throw them together. You know, we have standards all through our life, but then when the man of God gets on it, and I get mad about it sometimes, but you know, that's crazy. They got standards for these coats. They got standards for the pants, our clothes, our shoes, things you buy. They don't just throw that stuff together. I mean, we lost folks have that stuff in their lives and don't even realize it. It's just something about our nature, man. When God wants us to give us a command, we're like, whoa, you know, I don't like that. Well, you didn't mind it from somebody else down the road that don't even know God. Amen. So, I mean, this thing of our attitude, I mean, it's the action. Amen. But he wants you saturated, young people, with the Spirit of God. And you're not going to be in the position to get that when you're not separated. If you're not a clean vessel, you can hang it up. God's not obligated to do anything with any of us. We're not his bell. He's not our bellhop. And I think sometimes independent Baptists, we act like we, you know, because we got the truth and we're saved forever and thank God for all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a daily battle to get up, love the Lord thy God, put your britches on, get out and meet God in the prayer closet. However long you got, sometimes it's on the move. I understand that happens, man. Get in the book when you can and keep your chin up and keep going. When you mess up, get it right. Keep a short account. Don't keep on going after you've gotten an attitude. It ain't going to do you no good. It's going to get worse. If anybody knows that, I do. Amen. I'm telling you, man, I'm just an honest preacher. Three or four years ago, I was cleaning out the air conditioner in our house. They made coils, and I had to get way back. The way they built this thing, they must have been, I don't know, they were crazy. But anyhow, you couldn't get in there to get this thing cleaned. And I was getting aggravated. Now, you know, I never get aggravated. And I had just bought a little flashlight, and my wife, she's in the kitchen cooking, and she said, honey, my kids, by this time, because I'm out there talking to the Lord, I'm talking to myself out loud, and I'm getting real upset with this acorn. I'm acting like this thing's alive, talking to it. And I know you've never done that. So my kids are all watching. I didn't even realize, but that by this time they've heard Dad in a fight with the acorn. So they're standing there watching, not saying a word. I didn't see him, and I went to pull my arm out, and it just shaved my arm. But so then I did the real spiritual thing. I did an about face. I opened the door, kicked it open, and I piled that flashlight at about 60 miles an hour into the tree. And my wife said, well, that sure was a good testimony for you young'uns, wasn't it there, Pops? So I was like, you had to say that, didn't you, babe? Amen. So we had a time of prayer, and Daddy got right, and we pressed on, amen. But I'm going to tell you, that's how it works. That's where it's at, amen. What about this? Not only the commandment of God by way of introduction in our text, but look back there at verse 36, the corruption of the heathen. You saw what happened. And in Psalms 106, you know, it don't take long. You know, you can blow a 15-year testimony in 5 minutes, and it'll take you another 15 to gain it back. It's so precious, young people. Your testimony is so precious. It's a priceless jewel. I'm telling you now. You young ladies staying clean for God, it's above everything. I'm going to tell you, you daddies need to keep an eye on these little girls, man. Just knock the devil out of anybody that looks cross-eyed at them, amen. I'm just telling you now, I got one little, you saw my little, I only got one. I wanted five, and God probably figured I couldn't handle that, so I didn't get five little girls, amen. I got five boys to protect her, and they all know how to shoot guns already, amen. But I just can't imagine having, I fear the day I give her away, and it's going to be an exciting day, but you know, when there is no vision, the people perish. And I often ponder where my children will be when they're 25 and 30. And you ought to get a vision like that. I try to do that. And I want them in love with the Lord, man. It's scary sometimes because you work with them and you teach them and you train them and you pray with them and stuff. And you just say, Lord, there they are. And ultimately, the Lord has to do the work. I understand. And we're just his instruments. But, you know, it just... I fear the day and hour we live in, man, you just got to stay close to the Lord, man. I'm telling you now. You know, you can marry your son off, and I'm against any of this, but you can mess up and your son marry the wrong girl and he can pull her out of the ditch because she's a weaker vessel. But you sell your little girls off to the wrong man. Chances are they're gone. You know why? Because they're a weaker vessel. And they'll get in behind that man. Amen. That's why y'all better wait on God. Amen. I know you get that kind of preaching around here. It don't matter if you like that or not. Amen. I've had 5-step followers. I'll tell you how not to do it. But I have got a book now that tells me how to do it right. Amen. And I'm not going after 2 and 3 times. It's one time for a lifetime. You understand. Amen. You say it can't be done. Yes, it can. There's folks all over this building that's done it. Amen. And are doing it. Amen. If you want to do it right, you can. Amen. I mean, you got to help you do right. If you want to do wrong, the devil will help you. It's up to you. Amen. So we're talking about the corruption of the heathen. They learned their works in verse 39. That's what it said. It said they learned their works. It said in verse 39, thus they defiled with their own works and went a whoring with their own inventions. God knows America's there. I mean, we are going after everything but where we're supposed to be. They eat your time up. I call them time eaters. I'm telling you, even a computer, man, mine's blowed up. It's been blowed up for 7 months. I ain't getting it fixed. We've had a revival in my house, amen. And they're a wonderful tool, but I mean, all I used it for was a prayer letter. I figured, forget that, man. Brother Buddy's wife's doing it for me now. Praise God. I talked her into doing it. It's a blessing, amen. But I tell you, they ate my time up. We are too busy, and I'm not against them. Don't misunderstand me. It just seems like they say they're supposed to save time, and you turn them on, and something goes wrong. You turn them off, and you reboot them. Like, you know what I'm talking about. You want to go and blow them away, man. So, but it said there that in verse 36 that they served their idols. It was a snare unto them. They sacrificed their sons. They shed innocent blood. Then they ended up defiling themselves with their own works and their own inventions. So we're talking about the corruption of the heathen. That's what happens. You can either obey God's commandment and stay away from them, or you can link up with them and wind up the way Israel, God's apple of his eye, right there in the midst of, you know, you think of Lot. If you didn't know Lot was a righteous man, there ain't nobody in here that would believe he was. If Peter hadn't wrote that and God hadn't told him to, you wouldn't have thought that. If I'd have preached his funeral, I'd have preached him in hell. Probably. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you look at that Bible and God's book's God's book. But I mean, let me give you 3 simple things and I'll be through here. 3 major ways to see if you're getting too close to this crowd we call the heathen, folks that don't believe in God. Number one, I'd like to say this. They're after the mentality of our children. Go to Philippians chapter 4. They are after our kids' mentality. What makes them tick? What makes them think? What makes them get up and go through the day? And I'm going to tell you something, a verse everybody ought to memorize is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Young people, you ought to commit this to memory if you hadn't done so. And sometimes we don't think he does, but he does. Amen. That's in the New Testament, isn't it? Yeah, I'll find it here. I mean, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There we go. Philippians chapter 4. And you know, you've already saw the verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, and God knows there is virtue in that. He conditions it, but we know there's virtue in it. If you'll just obey. If there be any virtue, think on these, and if there be any praise, and there will be, you'll be happy, you'll have joy. Think on these things. And then Paul lets you know that he did those things already. He's practicing what he preached. Amen. So, you know, when you think of the mentality of our children, what about their attitude? What is it within the mentality of our young people? How is it, guys, young ladies, your attitude towards authority? Is it where it ought to be? How do you respond here in this school? When do you start school? Here in a couple, 3, 4 weeks, probably something like that? I think we start 1st of September, and God knows I'm praying that God comes back before we get started. But anyhow, do you, when you're asked to do something, now I know most folks ain't going to scream out and say, and throw their arms back and carry on, I ain't going to do that. But what does God see in your heart? Does it bother you when some of these folks around here tell you to do something? It shouldn't. They ought to be able to tell you to do anything that's of the Lord, and you snap to it. You ought to obey right away. And it's a battle, but you ought to learn to obey if you hadn't done so right away with a good attitude. It'll do nothing but help you. I'm going to tell you, this thing of authority, it's dangerous where we're living today. You say, man, you always harp on that. I know we got a house full of them down there that know nothing about it. And we have to deal with them daily to retrain them and teach them that a simple yes, sir, and just a simple halfway decent smile would be somewhat of a blessing. Amen? I mean, we're way beyond that. I mean, you know, you blankety blank, we ain't doing that. You know, come here, man, you know. You just bought five, amen. You're getting five licks of CC. You're going to be a corporal. Some of them have become generals, amen. They've gotten so much. I tell you, it's amazing. And people think when I preach, they think, man, you're going to get in trouble. No, I really, believe it or not, I do have some discretion. But in my mind, sometimes I want to give them 15 and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 stripes. But I'm going to tell you something, parents. This is a dangerous saying. But, you know, every time we take a young person to correct them, whether it's a rebuke, open rebuke's better than secret love, whether it's the whipping room, whatever you want to call it, time out to be safe, you understand. I believe in time out. You know, every time you come out of there, there's a winner and a loser. And we've got to be the winner. Because you're going to harden their heart. And they're going to hate you and despise you. That's why you can have people in church. I've had good friends that left God as soon as they graduated these AC schools. And I saw it in their eyes. You see, I come off the streets. And I'm ashamed of that, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. Like Paul, I got some street sense. And I can see Christian kids a country miles away going south. Because you know why? Because they're going after the dumb stuff that I was already in. And I can spot it. And a lot of times the parents, because they've never been around it, and thank God for that. But they don't see it coming. They're blindsided. And so you'll have kids sit in church pew, and they got their Bible, they pray, they sing, they're in the choir. But in their heart, they've been miles from the Lord for years. That's why you really got to walk with the Lord and don't get offended with some of these other folks who's got some wisdom right here. Spot things in your kids. Boy, thank God for that. We have an open deal at our place out there. I mean, I want them to tell me when they see something in my children that ain't right. I don't get up. They can whoop my kids. I don't get offended at that. If they're doing it the Bible way, they can beat the fire out of them. Amen. I'm serious, man. You know, if my kids are out there doing something and Brother Buddy or somebody, and it happens and sees them cross somebody and they're afraid to tell me, oh, no. I got over that a long time ago. And I know it's a rough thing. I know it's got to be done right. I understand all. You got to be very careful. But it can be done the Bible way. It's only going to save your hide, young people. But I'm going to tell you this thing of attitude towards authority. I ain't got the time to do it, but parents, your parents, Ephesians 6, Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, obey them that have their, you know the verses, the preacher, amen. I mean the police, 1 Peter chapter 2, we can go on and on. God wrote a book, He put things in places that you need to fall in line with. You say, I'm going to be my own boss. You're a fool. You're still going to answer to somebody. Ain't no such monster in America, amen, or this world. Anybody that wants to do that kind of stuff. I had a young girl I dealt with. We known for years. Used to babysit my kids. Clean girl. Went out. Daddy and daddy went out. Let her start working at a fast food place. Clean chase girl. And I told her, his dad, I said, man, I know I'm stepping in my bounds, but I'm telling you that little girl's going to be gone in 6 months. You're a fool. And I've lost friends over that stuff. You know where she's at today? Running around, linked up, divorced, remarried, in the dope and all kinds of stuff. King James raised in the AC school for 18 years. She might not be saved. I don't know. Probably isn't. But that ain't my business. But I know this. I told their daddy, man, daddy's, man, get the shellings out. If a little girl needs some cash, give it to her. Take care of her. Amen. Don't send her out to the heathen. They're going to be doing this, man. These little girls are trophies to this world because they're not being pulled on. I mean, any red-blooded American knows that. I didn't have to read the Bible to figure that out, man. Come on, guys. And I know this is a one. I'm just trying to be a fire warning shot, amen. That's all, just to keep us out of trouble, man. Don't do it, man. It ain't worth it. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. It ain't worth it. So the mentality of our children, what about this? What about their appearance in public? I know we're getting on stuff that you already know about, but look at Isaiah 47 real quick. This is just young people. This is what I deal with all the time. Three biggest hitters hadn't changed. They fuss about, everywhere I go, they want to know about this thing of clothing on young people, music, and authority. Everywhere I go, it's the same questions. I mean, what it is people want to do their own thing. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes instead of what God said, amen? And, I'm not smart enough to run my life. I don't know about you all. If it wasn't for God, I used to run these streets acting the fool. Amen. I was up and down these streets in 88 acting a stupid fool. We used to run from here to Linton and do 150. I've done that. I'm not proud of that. We're lucky to be alive. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's the grace of God. I wasn't in prison before I got saved. Well, I was in the military. Amen. So I'm thankful to be saved. And I just know after getting saved and coming from that lot of life, God's been too good to me, and I've been too much in this book now to turn back. There's nothing to go back to, folks. I mean, I've been out there and tossed, been tried it all. Why wouldn't you take it from me? If any of y'all are even thinking about looking toward Egypt, why would you even want to crack the window and look? We got kids that are pulling the blind. They just want to get a glimpse. There's nothing there but trouble, man. Wickedness, ungodliness. That's all it is. They're going to drag you from God. They're going to snatch you up like a vacuum and suck you right out. And you say, well, I can handle it. No, you can't. You're a fool, man. You ain't going to handle it. It's going to handle you, amen. So our appearance in public, Isaiah 47. This is a wonderful Old Testament verse of Scripture. And I'm just going to read it to you. But, you know, God wrote a book, amen. And you ladies, I've said this before, but if you ladies knew the mind of a normal man, you'd dress right. Y'all with me, amen? If you'll read your Bible, God never rebukes a woman that I know of, and I could be wrong, for what she looks at. A dedicated verse, but there's boatloads to the man. Genesis 3, the devil was looking at Adam and Eve before they were clothed. Now, is there any wonder where we're at today with the billboards and all the ungodliness? And you can't even go to Walmart now. It's so bad. Your kids see pornography in the newsstand aisles. And they act like it's okay. Ain't nothing right about it. They need to set fire to that place. Amen. But anyhow, it fires me up. Not just for my kids, anybody's kids that's trying to do right. I tell you, man, it just... But anyhow, I mean, if you just knew... I mean, you get to Genesis chapter 6, they're doing wicked stuff. All kinds of stuff. You read it, the chapter. Chapter 9... Noah's son, Elimelech, Abraham fouls up with his wife, lies about her. Amen, like father, like son. Isaac does the same thing when the king's looking and peering out the window when he was sporting with his wife. All the way through that Bible. Then the Lord has to dedicate a verse in chapter 5 of Matthew. But I say to you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Why would the Lord have to use that many words in his Bible? One verse is enough. I tell you why, because he knows us. And so if you ladies would just think without any Bible verses, just common sense, horse sense, you would look at yourself in the mirror and check yourself over and make sure you're appropriately covered. Amen. And now that don't leave the men out of it. The men ought to be the same. You don't need to be running around looking like no heathen. Amen. I'm against it, man. I mean, I got buddies that they preach against that stuff, and then they get all over these ladies, and then the men are running around, no shirts on, shirts unbuttoned, half down their chest, showing off, you know. Come on, man. There ain't nothing right about that. You ought to be covered up is what you ought to be. Like the old time farmers used to. Bib overhauls and long sleeves buttoned up to their neck, amen. Is that right? Out there working in the grease and the filth and the 100 degree weather. And I never heard them complain about it. Amen. I mean, you know, it's too hot. No, come on now. That's an excuse so we can undress, amen. That's all that is. I had a book the last time I was through here and I needed to give that. And that brother might have saw it. It was written by a 5-point Calvinist. Now, I'm against him. He's a Baptist hyper-Calvinist. But this guy did a knockout job. The Public Undressing of America. I don't know if you've ever seen that, brother. My goodness. It's unbelievable. And I think I had a copy of that here. I've got some, in the van or back of my trailer. But it's unbelievable. He hit it on the head, man. He went all the way through from 1900 up to the last 100 years and showed you how ABC, NBC, CBS, and all the clothes designers, most of them are faggots and sodomites and lesbians. You knew that, didn't you? Most of the clothing designers are wicked snakes. And that's the kind of crowd. We don't need to follow that crowd. You know what's a shame? We're like 3 and 4 steps behind the world. What do we got to chase them for? We ought to be an about face going the opposite direction. And at the same time, lobbing grenades back, telling them the truth. Amen. You know why we can go to the grocery store and it don't bother folks to cuss God out while we're standing? Because we don't say nothing. Bless God, I will. Amen. I don't care if he's 20 feet tall and pounds me through the concrete. Sir, you don't got to cuss like that around me. Amen. Oh, amen. Oh, you blankety blank geez. No, sir, you ain't got... Listen, I had a preacher friend of mine that went out and took it. Some of his preacher boys out on a deep sea fishing boat. They chartered it down there in Florida. They got 20 miles offshore, and them deckhands started cussing God left and right. The preacher said, whoa. He said, everybody come here, including the deckhands. He said, we just paid you good money. You cuss God one more time, we're throwing you overboard. You understand? Yeah. And they quit, amen. get you out there off the ocean and do, man, they ain't doing that either, amen. But that's why they can put billboards up with naked women and they can get away with it. Because we're not saying nothing. Well, it don't bother me. They're not in my house. They will be in 10 years. They will be in 20 years if we don't stop it. Amen. Got to say something, man. Amen. So the mentality of our children. What about their appearance? I didn't read the verse, did I? And I've got to get done. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 47. Come down and sit, verse 1, in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt be no more called tender and delicate. Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover thy locks. That's her hair, amen. Make bare the leg. Now get you in 1828 and look up the word leg. That's from your trunk down to your Achilles heel. But actually the leg in definition goes to the kneecap. Or I'm sorry, maybe I got it backwards. Let me read on and get the rest of the verse to come to my mind. I've looked it up. Yeah, that's it. Uncover the thigh. That's what it is. From the Achilles heel to the kneecap's the leg. And from the kneecap to your trunk is the thigh. Did y'all see what's going on there? Make bare the leg. It says, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will make... There it is, plain as day. Amen. It's got to do with stuff we shouldn't be messing with. Amen. Amen. Folks, get quiet on that. So I don't know why. I don't know why clothing's a big issue. I was grew up on the streets, man. To me, it's like 8 + 1 + 1 = 2. I mean, if God said we ought at least try to cover up, we ought to do that. Done deal. Next question. You know what I'm saying? But I know our nature's involved. Amen. And that's why young people, when they're little, this little girl here, when they're little, train them then. And then when she's 15, she won't have a desire to raise a skirt up. Amen. Amen. Brother Roloff said every year he used to get when he had that Rebecca home, he used to get his preacher boys again and say, look, come here, ladies. It's time to get the zingers out. We're putting her an inch lower this year. Yeah, that's what Roloff used to do, amen. I love old Brother Roloff, amen. Folks love him now that he's dead, but they didn't like him when he was around, amen. They love him to death. They'll listen to his tapes. Oh, I love Brother Roloff. You hated his guts when he was preaching on your Pepsi Cola and your coffee, amen. I'm just being honest, amen. That's the way we are, amen. So our attitude towards authority, our appearance in public ought to be right. Amen. Right. Girls and boys, you ought to just have it right. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. I mean, if anything's in question, fix it. Amen. Just fix it. What about appetite for spiritual things? How are you, young people, on your appetite for spiritual things? Do you go if you will, to Titus chapter 1. Do you hunger and thirst after things of the Lord? I mean, you say, how do you build a desire for that? Get around God's people. Get in God's book. Amen. Get around things that are pure and right, and you'll build a desire for the things of God. You know, you can't get a desire for something if you're not around it. Amen. If you run from it and don't get around the company that's trying to practice that stuff is right. Amen. Titus chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Now, you know, under the pure, this Bible is so plain, the King's English. Under the pure, all things are pure. That's simple. If you're pure, things are going to be pure to you. You're going to know what is right, and you'll gravitate to it, and you'll enjoy being around it. But it goes on to say this, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Then it says they profess that they know God. We got a lot of that going on. But in works they deny him. Now this verse is in our Bible, being abominable and disobedient, and every good work reprobate. You know, the Bible says, Paul said, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You don't get, we get saved by the grace of God. We don't work to stay saved. We don't work to keep our, we work because we are saved. It's the love of God that's the driving, motivating factor. How you dress is because you love God. It's what it ought to be. How you talk, what you listen to, what you look at, what you think, the work type of work you're doing, ought to be motivated by the love for the Lord. And that's where the good works come in, guys. And, you know, if I would check up if it bothers you to get around spiritual things. I mean, if singing old-time hymns bucks you in your heart, there's something wrong somewhere. It shouldn't. If you're really saved and full and God birthed you into his family and the Spirit of God lives in there, then that kind of stuff ought to fire you up. I mean, it fires me up, man. I get to tapping my foot, man. I get fired up. I think a lot differently. I think military. We get to singing real good, and I'm thinking, man, let's get some guns. Let's charge the devil, man. That's just the way I am. I look at everything from a military's perspective. I think sometimes too much, and probably because I'm reading two SEAL books right now. My wife said I need to quit doing that, amen. I'm reading too much stuff, amen. It's just too detrimental to my... I told the cat boys to Canada, that one of them said, man, what is your deal here lately? Because, I mean, I've just been after them left and right. Get here, do this. Come on, guys. Get you're lagging. Get with it. And we still take them out and dog them and everything and have fun, and it's just a blast. But I told them, I said, man, it's my company I'm keeping. I've been reading all these military books, man, these Red Cell when he did that. You know, I don't even get into all that, man. But that's my kind of stuff, man. I love being able to sneak around, slide in, slide out, shoot somebody to the ground, get out. They don't even know you've been there, amen? And I mean, that's just... I'm studying right now how to shoot on the move. It's combat pistol shooting. They don't train officers. They used to not. I don't think they ever do. It's easy. I can knock the bulls out of a silhouette standing still. But nobody gets under the pressure like that. When you're under the gun, you're either going to be shot at or being shot, or you're chasing or you're moving. Nobody knows how to shoot like that unless you're in Special Forces, Delta, Rangers, doing something where they teach you to shoot. I mean, the gun becomes part of you. Wherever you point it, it's going to that place. And I won't be but a second. I want to tell you, military people got character. It would shock you to read most of these guys. I preached a message that I did on Somalia back, and it broke my heart. I bawled during the message because, man, I read a book, a good book. Because some of them are filthy and they cuss and count. You got to be careful. You got to just check the stuff out because they're military. But these guys are probably going to hell, most of them. And I mean, they've got grit and character and loyalty, and they just obey orders. There's so much spiritual stuff in it. It's unbelievable. You can get a lot out of it. And I did a message on those guys, man, and they call it the shooting house. What they do is they go in there and let's say you make the team, and I mean it's something to even get on the team, but it's a great high privilege. But I'd love to do it. God would love me, but He won't, so I can't. So I have to read about it. Amen. But in order to finally make it through, they put you in the hot seat. You have to be the hostage. You sit in this room. And there's silhouettes all around. And they even got one behind you. They set up a demo. And these guys shoot with live ammunition, 45s, 1911 A1 Colts and Springfield Army. They're the best thing. I'm telling you, they're the best thing since light bread. Amen. But and you sit in there, and your partners come in. They blow the door. One guy goes right. One guy goes left. A third guy comes in. They have their own. They have their patterns, their areas they have to cover. And then the last guy comes through, and they throw a flashbang grenade in there. Now, if you've ever been around that, You're going to be wondering where you're at when it goes off. It gives them just enough time they need to blow your head off. Amen. When you're wondering where you're at, it's too late. You've already got two rounds through the eyes. They have to put two rounds. It's called a double tap. Tun-tun. And they have to hit right there. And that guy has to sit in there, and they're live firing. I mean, bullets are going by that. You have to do that to make the team. I don't know about you, but you're having to trust your guys to take 45s, which is about 9,000 feet per second, 230 grain slug that would literally, you'd meet God if you got hit with it, amen. And these guys stand there and have to go through that. And they hit the mark, man. It's over with in less than a second. The smoke clears and there's two holes in every silhouette. It's unbelievable, man. It makes my hair stand up. That kind of stuff, you say, that's crazy. No, I'm going to tell you, those guys, most of them don't even know God. And they have just, I'm telling you, man, God's been very good to our military. Now, how long it's going to stay that way, I don't know. Because they're beginning to depart from what they need to be doing. And so we're talking here about appetite for spiritual things. And listen, young people, in order for you to have an appetite for spiritual things, you're going to have to be around stuff that's what? Clean. You're not going to have an appetite for things of God if you're dirtying around dirty things. You're going to be living for the devil, man. It's that simple. There's nothing magical about it. You either get around the cloud that's clean and run with company that's clean. Amen. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about outside here. I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm talking about when you're going through your daily life, just trudging through. Where are you at? Do you thirst and hunger? You need to. You need to, amen. You need to work at that. So we're talking about that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3 real quick. Revelation chapter 3, our attitude towards authority, our appearance in public, and then we're here dealing with our appetite for spiritual things. And man, it's a hard thing to find young people that testify today, that stand up and brag on God. They're almost ashamed. Buddy, I tell you, you ought to be thanking God. Amen. If you're saved, you've got to testify. You say, well, I ain't never. Man, I'm looking for the testimony. You know what we do? We kill the fatted calf for the wrong person. Somebody hears my testimony and they shout amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. But you know what? What about the young boys that's never smoked, never cussed, never drank, never committed fornication, waited on God, submitted to the man of God, and just lived for God? Why don't we hang from the chandeliers from them? Maybe that's why they're not really got a big desire. It ain't helping them a whole lot to get down the road. We need to encourage them. Amen. Some of us folk have been around a while. We ought to be shouting these guys on. Sitting on the front row. Most kids sit on the back. They play with their bless God, little Nintendo garbage. What do you call that, that thing? I want to put a round through that too. What is that little box called? What is that thing called, man? A Game Boy. I got something for the Game Boys. Amen. My mama asked, could she get a Game Boy for my kids? I said, say what? Mama, you know better than that. Amen. I don't want no Game Boy because I'm going to smash it. You don't want me to do that or hurt her feelings. Amen. Just keep your money. Don't do that. Amen. They're always trying some way to get in somehow. I don't want no Game Boy. That's fine. If you got, I'm sure there's some decent games. I don't know, but I ain't got time for it. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Get mad at me over a Game Boy. Amen. I got into hot water in North Georgia. Believe, you won't believe this. In the NB Baptist Church over Harry Potter. Now that's wicked as hell. You would think, and I was it was a missions conference, and God just kept saying, nail Harry Potter. You understand? I just kept getting down. I was like, what in the world? This ain't got nothing to do with missions. And so finally I said, well, I don't know why, but you know, Harry Potter's wicked as hell, and I just went off on it. Next thing I know, everybody's looking up, looking down, looking at their watch, and four families. The preacher came to me afterwards and said, man, we needed what you said, but you just ticked off four families that I've been dealing with about Harry Potter. See, God knew. And I just happened to have a whole stack of information on, so I gave it out. But I didn't know, but the Lord knew. The preacher had been fighting these people over Harry Potter. Come on now. You remember that quote I read to you all about that female? She's a witch. I'm serious. Literally, she's a witch. She's a new ager. She's wicked. Okay? She wouldn't take care of my dogs. Amen. You understand. I mean, yeah, she needs to get saved. Listen, there's a dividing line somewhere. I'm not going to run coattail with somebody to get them saved. Get in their face, give them the gospel, pray for them, preach at them. But listen, I'm not supporting their garbage. I'm not linking up with it. I'm not going to keep my mouth shut around them about it. No, sir. That's what's wrong. Amen. That woman said on national TV, I've got the quote. I think I read it here about what she said about Jesus Christ. She called him a fake and a fraud with Tom Brokaw. On national TV in the United States of America, called my God a fake and a fraud. Now, she wouldn't have done that 50 years ago, but now we've come so far. And then you get on you get in Canada and say something about a sodomite, you go to prison. Now, you know, it's not far from down here going that route, amen. Anyhow, the capital's down there in Pensacola. Don't go to Pensacola on vacation, okay? Put a plug in right there. That's the capital, by the way. Their national bank's in Pensacola, and their national headquarters is in Pensacola. Yeah, they just had a big, big wing ding down there. I wish I could have called in an airstrike, amen. But helped them out, amen. But a couple A-10s, it just took a couple strafes with 30 mil, and they'd have been through, amen. It'd been nothing but shovels picking up pieces, amen. But anyhow, I know I'm awful, amen. Yeah, amen. If you have to change anything, and I'm going to finish up here, anything with in your lifestyle from home to church, you know what that is in the Bible? It's a New Testament hypocrite. Listen, you ought to have church and home ought to be the same. The homes are the church. It's dangerous in America. It's the home, my home, bless God, and the church is the church. And I'll do what I want here and fully on the preacher. And you know, did you hear what he said today, honey? And your kids are listening to all that. And you're putting a division between the man of God and your family. Amen, if we're doing that stuff. And I'm telling you, your home ought to be just like here. I mean, in other words, it ought to be the same way, folks. There should be no difference. Amen. I mean, you know, kids aren't dumb. They know how we are through the week, and they know how we are at the house of God. Now, we're going to make mistakes. Man, I make more than anybody in here, I promise you. I'm serious. But you know what I have to do? I'm sorry, honey. Son, I'm sorry. Daddy's a goofball. I did this here. I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't the right way to say that. This ain't what God said. Let's fix it. I have to apologize to him quite often. It's good for me. It's humbling. Amen. It keeps me where I need to be. Amen. Amen. So what about this? What about the morals of our children? Two things. Look at Romans chapter 1. And I'm just about done. I'm boring you to death. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And while I'm thinking about it, pray for a man by the name of Ellery Gibbs. His wife's name's Elsie Gibbs. They have six children. He was on the UDT teams in the Navy, worked with the SEALs, and he just got out. He did, I guess, what, maybe 9 years, eight? And he lived, breathed, and died that stuff. He was in Iraq three or four times, and he's called to preach, and they're out now. God finally about beat him to death because he loved doing what he did so much. So they're on their way to Alaska. It just came to my mind. They're on their way traveling right now. Pray for those folk. They're a good folk. Got a good family. He got some of the beautiful little girls I've ever seen in my life. Are they Indian or Eskimo, honey? Man, they're fine-looking young ladies. I'm going to steal a couple of them from my boys. I told him if it's God's will, amen. But anyhow, I try to get him to give them to me. I'll adopt them, but he won't do it, amen. I keep trying to talk him into it. But anyhow, what about this? Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, you know the chapter here. It's a wonderful crowd here to tell into Romans chapter 1. And we'll get right in here in verse 25. It says this, well, in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And if we're not careful, we'll get there, amen. We're not as smart as we think we are, amen. Outside the grace of God, that's where we'll be, amen. But we're talking about the pleasures of this world, young people. You know, when you talk about this stuff, this is probably the biggest hitter the devil has. Is the different kinds of pleasures to get you, steal your heart from the Lord. Amen? And it don't have to be bad stuff. Sometimes the most dangerous thing is good things that aren't in the timing and the will of God. You can do something right at the wrong time and it'd be a worse detriment than going out and doing something stupid. Amen? Amen. And you can do, the devil does a lot of damage with things that are right, but they're out of order. They're not where God wants you to be at that appointed time. So it's important, amen, that we know that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 32, it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So they know it's wrong. They know judgment's coming, but they having pleasure in doing it. That's this world. Am I right? You don't got to go to Chicago to know that. It's right here in Jacksonville. I mean, I've never figured out. Of course, I'm saved now, and I've learned better, I hope. But I used to sit up around the hood and squeal tires and waste gas money. That's about the dumbest thing in the world. And I used to do that. I look back now and I get to preach my son. I used to do that. You used to be a fool like that. I'm like, you're right, man. But what is it that mom and dad gives $10 to Susie or Johnny and lets them go up and squeal tires and mess around? Where is God in that? What business do we have out in Jacksonville at the street light, the one light they got, at 9 and 10 o'clock at night for God's people? Now, if you're passing through, throw a track at them, whatever. Tell them they're going to hell, they need to get saved. I don't know. But outside of that, these young people got no business on the streets of Jacksonville. Never mind Chicago or some bad, bad place. Sin's just as prevalent up here. You can get into sin just as quick as up here as you could anywhere else. Amen. So, I mean, man, the pleasures of the world, there's nothing pleasurable. It's fun for a while. But you won't be able to afford the bill when it comes in. And then you're going to lose your testimony. You're going to sit and cry and sob, and you ain't getting it back. You'll never get back to where you were at. Do you ever realize that?